This is Ozarks at Large. Arkansas has been a new home for immigrants since well before statehood. Sometimes documenting the experiences can be tricky, but Kathleen Condrey, an associate professor of German at the University of Arkansas, was able to research German immigrant lives in 19th century Arkansas through immigrants' own words. And she used that research for her new book published by the U of A Press, Das Arkansas Echo, A Year in the Life of Germans in 19th Century South. We talked with her about the book last week via Zoom. She says her research focused on an entire year's worth of a German language newspaper.
Das Arkansas Echo. And believe it or not, at the time of its founding in 1892, it was one of three German language newspapers in the state of Arkansas. There were never a large number of German immigrants in Arkansas as there were in some of the northern states, but the ones who were here were actively recruited to Arkansas due to their reputation for hard work and thrift, especially after the Civil War, when they were regarded as an alternative labor replacement force to African Americans who were also moving to the state at that time. So thanks to a deal between the railroads and the Catholic Bishop of Arkansas, Edward Fitzgerald, these German immigrants were able to get affordable railroad land. And so the book project is looking at, most of them came around 1880. There were also immigrants in German immigrants in Arkansas before that, before the Civil War. But the people who were reading this newspaper were largely here for about a decade when they started publishing the newspaper. And I was able to read every single issue of their inaugural year and really get a glimpse into what their daily lives were like and what they cared about. And that was especially a treat for me because, and shout out to Subiaco Abbey and Father Jerome Codel. The monks at Subiaco Abbey are originally from Switzerland, and so therefore were German speakers for decades and decades, and they have kept every single one of the newspapers all the way up through 1932, and they let me borrow those. So I was just able to really sit down and read and find out who these German immigrants were in their own words. A lot of has been done about Germans in Arkansas in previous scholarship in Arkansas history, but there were also some misconceptions. And these German immigrants were not English-only speakers, as had been presumed. They were not uneducated because they were not having conversations with the German speakers. A lot of the English speakers, whom the Germans referred to as Americans, just assumed they were all kind of dummies. But this newspaper had regular features on philosophy, literature, history, and science. And they were not interested in living in their own little enclave in the way they've been portrayed. They really regarded Arkansas as a new home. They were interested in agriculture and commerce in the state. And they felt they had a lot to offer in terms of best practices regarding farming, road building, banking, and also culturally.
Was this news the newspaper that you were able to read because it had been preserved by the monks at the Subiaco Abbey? Was this a statewide paper, or was this pretty? It was.
Yes, it was a statewide paper. It was one of three statewide German weeklies that was published in 1892.
Hmm. How was this preserved? It's amazing to me that every single issue of the first year still exists.
We are extremely lucky to have copies. There are also microfilm preservations, but they're in some places beginning to degrade. So it's just wonderful that the monks literally just put them all into their vault and they've kept them all these years. And I especially appreciate that because the other two papers that existed at the time, the Staatszeitung and Das Arkansas Volksblatt, we have no extant copies of the Volksblatt. We have very few of the other paper, the Staatszeitung, and certainly none from this time. So there were three main crusades that interested the German readers of this newspaper in 1892. The first was Prohibition. They were recruited to Arkansas with the promise that they could develop a viniculture. And they wanted to turn Arkansas into a wine-producing leader to rival California. They got here and they found 3-mile laws, which meant that they were not allowed to produce alcohol within 3 miles of a church or a school. And as one German farmer put it, that's like spitting in the soup of what was promised to us. They were also interested in immigration. There was burgeoning anti-foreigner sentiment at the time, and they were also dealing with a worldwide cholera and also flu outbreak, which when I was researching this a few years ago, didn't mean as much to me as it does right now when we're ourselves living through this pandemic. And they also were really adamant about German language instruction. They saw speaking German in their families as a moral imperative. They believed that their children could not learn to be proper Christians and proper Catholics without experiencing the catechism in German. So it wasn't so much that they wanted to separate themselves from the English speakers in Arkansas, and they certainly also could speak English, but they really believed that it was their moral duty to continue speaking German with their kids. In terms of politics, the paper was solidly aligned with the Democratic Party. They did not protest maneuvers that the Democratic Party was using to disenfranchise Black and poor voters in 1892, such as a poll tax. And they also didn't protest early Jim Crow measures, such as the separate coach laws of 1891. And that's really reflective of attitudes towards race in the paper in 1892. They're really all over the map. On the one hand, they're afraid of having Black neighbors because they were worried about a race war in Arkansas. They were furious when a politician mentioned, quote, N-words and Germans, end quote, as being responsible for his possible defeat, because they understood that it wasn't a given that they would be regarded as part of this established Anglo-Saxon white community. Today, we think of groups like Germans and Irish and Italians as being white, but at the time, they were regarded as immigrants and other and not part of this existing Anglo-Saxon white structure. So they were very aware of that, and I think that's part of why they were really interested in aligning themselves with the Democratic Party. They understood that the Republican and People's Party fusion ticket was not going to win, and they were trying to become part of Arkansas. So they were really allied with the people who they knew were going to be holding the power. They sometimes picked up the racist language of the white English language-speaking press, but they also decried lynchings in general, and especially the murder of the Hamp Bisco family. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it was really a horrific murder of a Black farmer who was killed with his wife and 13-year-old son in a property dispute. And the German newspaper said this isn't, quote-unquote, lynch justice. This is nothing but a murder to commit robbery, and they really condemned it. So, you know, what's unique to their situation in the South is that they're navigating multiple identities. They're Europeans, but they're newcomers to the South. They're hoping for a white identity, but realizing it wasn't a guarantee. They're eager to show themselves as good Democrats and thus good whites by extension. They really confronted the Anaconda mortgage problem in Arkansas and what they felt was an over-reliance on cotton production. They were fighting prohibition, especially against quote-unquote sects like the Methodists, whom they did not trust, and called mucker because they were anti-alcohol. And in terms of race, they saw the beginnings of Jim Crow laws, such as the separate coach law I mentioned, voter disenfranchisement, and a series of horrific lynchings. I see lots of overlap with immigration today. Germans were not welcomed by everyone. There were a few politicians who especially spoke out against them. They fought with the existing Arkansans over alcohol, but also over agricultural practices. There was an assumption that they could not speak English because they preferred to speak German with each other. And they also recognized the importance of being active in the political process because they felt they were being ignored. They urged fellow Germans to become citizens and to vote because, as the paper put it, quote, because if the good citizens neglect their duties for the common good, then the domineering and avaricious politicians will have an easy time, end quote. And they also supported German candidates when they were running for office.
Obviously, you're talking about the 19th century of this newspaper, and specifically that first year. You mentioned that there are issues that go into the 1930s. I'm wondering if you know why the newspaper ceased publication.
Yes. The paper's editor was a man named Karl Meurer. he became so identified with the newspaper, he was pretty much the sole editor for the entire run, that he was known around the state by the German immigrants as Der Echo-Mann, right? Like, he is the guy who's responsible for the Echo newspaper. And unfortunately, when he died, his son tried to take it over and run it for a very short period, but then wasn't successful at it, and it ended up closing shop. It is noteworthy that they were able to keep it publishing during World War I, and that is the topic of my next research project, because there was quite a bit of anti-German discrimination in Arkansas, and Germans, both in Arkansas and nationally, never thought the United States was going to enter the war, and they spent a lot of time encouraging Germans, you need to talk to your friends and family about, you know, how terrible and evil the French and the British are. And of course, America will want to support Germany, who's being cruelly attacked in this way. And then when America entered the war, they had to do a lot of backtracking and prove that they were really good Americans. And, you know, we didn't really mean all the rest of that.
Dr. Kathleen Condrey is an associate professor of German at the University of Arkansas, and she is the author of the book Das Arkansas Echo, A Year in the Life of Germans in 19th Century South, published by the University of Arkansas Press. She talked with us last week via Zoom. Tomorrow on our show, another accounting of newcomers to the state. Linda Jones, Associate Professor of Language Area Studies at the University of Arkansas, will talk to us about her new book, The Shattered Cross, French Catholic Missionaries on the Mississippi River. That conversation on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 p.m., on 91.3 KUAF.